beautiful day here in Paradise of Arizona. It's supposed to be cooler a little bit later this week, and looking forward to a little bit of a cooler weather before the heat really sets in. So glad you're here tonight. Good to have Junior with us. Thank you, buddy. Good to see you. Thank you. All right, we'll have a word of prayer and get started tonight. Maybe take a testimony or two here tonight, our time, as well as our Bible study tonight. I probably got more notes than I need. Rush through it all next week. If I don't get far enough into it, I'll try to find a landing spot if I can't get it all in tonight. But so glad to have it said. How's that? Well, we're glad you're here tonight. We'll go ahead and get started tonight with a time of Bible study, or some songs, and I'll have our Bible study a little bit later tonight in prayer time. The Stones will be with us tonight, and they'll be with us Sunday night, and then they'll pull out Monday morning to start heading toward Idaho, and I'll let him tell you more about that on Sunday night, about some of the activities that are going on and some of the prep that they'll be doing in Colorado. And then I've also asked him to share a little bit about some of the work weeks and where you would stay and what you would need to bring if you wanted to come up and help him out during a few days or a week or whatever it may be. He'll talk more about that on Sunday night. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us today. Thank you, though it may be warm outside, that we have a padded seats and an air conditioning room. Lord, we thank you so much. Help us not take for granted, Lord, some of the luxuries and blessings you've bestowed upon us. Now, bless us tonight. Help us, encourage us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to worship you as we sing together in song. And, Father, help us to glean from the Scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got your notes and your Bibles tonight, I'm going to go ahead and go over to 2 Timothy 2:15 just to read a verse of Scripture. We've already had a word of prayer. I would like to read a passage of Scripture here and go forward. And we'll be, of course, using other passages of Scripture in the book of Proverbs as we study. But the Bible says, and you're very familiar with this, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's exactly what we're doing in the book of Proverbs. We're studying through. We're not necessarily going verse by verse like we are in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and later on the Jude. But the whole aspect I want to emphasize is the study part. There is a difference between reading and studying. Some of us, for example, how many of you, when you sit down and read a book, most of the time you've got a highlighter, a pen and pencil, one of those combinations or some of that. Think of when we read, what do we do when we're reading our Bible? If we're studying to show ourselves approved unto God, that means we want to glean from it, get something, write it down, memorize it, and use it. And that's the whole aspect of Bible study and the whole aspect of times we're getting together. That's why I do the handouts. I try to be a help to you in some way, or hopefully there's some room on there as well as you can make notes if you something that I say that I didn't put in the notes that you can write down. But the whole aspect is to make us better, to learn, and to glean. All right, we finished up on abundance. We're going to move right in tonight. In Proverbs, we're going to talk about achievement and failure, but we'll spend several weeks on achievement first, so we'll get into to failure a little bit later. I don't like to talk about that, but it's still needed. The book of Proverbs is a practical book, and it incorporates so many different topics and problems that we face in life. Our new topic, as I mentioned, will focus on the issue of achievement and failure, but we'll focus on achievement first. So a couple questions. How do we reach our goals toward achievement? You have a plan. What do you need to do to achieve success in your career, in school, in life? And what about failure? I won't talk much about that tonight, but we'll get to that in coming weeks. What are the mistakes that lead to failure? You know, the school of hard knocks. Sometimes we learn by our mistakes, but to be honest, I would rather learn by someone else's mistake than my own. We all would agree on that, but do we learn through them? Solomon gives us principles that will apply to any career field or any walk of life. So here are a couple things. I started leaving blanks and let you write them down, but I thought I'll just let you coast through that with me and have them in front of you. But I'm sure you can probably add some things. But think about the aspect of principles and the type of principles we adapt and how they can affect us spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, home life, work, school, and church. Now, there's a no order of priority by any means, but some things that come to mind and how principles can affect, how achievement can affect, how failure can affect these aspects in our life. See, the sooner we grasp the biblical lessons in Proverbs about success and failure, the greater our chance will be in avoiding costly mistakes or failures in our life. I remember 16 or 17 years old at the Bill Rice Ranch, challenged by Brother Ron Comfort and Bill Rice III in reading your Bible, but as young people, to be challenged to read the book of Proverbs. And even reading a book of Proverbs one a day, as today's the 8th, read Proverbs chapter 8. You've heard me say that. And encourage the teenagers and young people to read the book of Proverbs on a daily basis. Young people, teenagers, I'm glad we have some here tonight. Master this section tonight of study. I know you won't get the whole section, but you'll get a portion of it. Because this study is important because we live in a goal-oriented society. And if you're not goal-oriented, you need to catch up. But so many aspects we are, but there's also the aspect that we've already talked about. We live in a society that vents everything on social media and looking for approval. But we need to make sure we're also getting help on these achievements, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But notice a few examples from the Word of God of men that had goals. First of all, Moses. Moses had a goal to release Israel from Egypt. There was a goal. He worked toward it. Caleb waited over 40 years to get his mountain, and guess what? We all know he got it. But goals and setting goals. Our Lord said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." See, the goal of Jesus was to do the will of his Father, and he did. So what are some of your goals? I don't want you to write them down now, think too much about them, but maybe later add to that. Looking at things that you want to accomplish in life. Yes, some of you may be in your golden years, but you should still have goals. You should. Mark, new goal. I highly encourage you this past week. They celebrated 50 years of anniversary. The next goal is how many, Margo? 60. 60. Not 51, 60. But no matter what our age is or how young we are, we should have goals in life and to work to them. Help me, Margo. Now, here's an example. Not the best, but in Alice in Wonderland, at one point, Alice says to the Cheshire Cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way should I go from here?" And the cat responded, "That depends a good deal on where you want to go." Alice says, "I don't care much where I go." So the cat responded, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." If you don't know what your goals are, it really doesn't matter. You've got nothing to shoot toward. And by the way, you'll hit it every time if there's no goal. There's no target. We need to have goals in life. Without objectives, we will have nowhere to go. And we'll just keep wandering aimlessly, being controlled by our circumstances that surround us. Beloved, God doesn't want us to roam through life with nothing. Give me a minute. Michelle, nothing. You know what I just thought of? Michelle and I listened to a video today, the difference between and brains between men and women. And I'm not going to try to retell it. I need to get back on track, but I just started chuckling. I've got to get it out of my system. But it referred to the boxes that men have in their brain, and one of them has absolutely nothing in it. Because as it says, men are creatures that can do absolutely nothing and still have somewhat of some brain activity or still be able to breathe. All the women said, yes, that's another story. I've got to reuse that with another illustration in a future sermon, but it's still just going like this in my head. You ever had that, Brother DJ? You just got to get it out. But anyway, let's get back on track here. God has given us abilities that can be used for his glory. And listen to this, all of us, no exception, no age limit. God has given each of us abilities. As Christians, we should have spiritual goals, not just retirement goals, not just educational goals, not just goals to get through one more year of marriage, but we should have spiritual goals as well. Goals may be in your witnessing, may be in your giving, it may be in your prayer life, it may be in your Bible study, scripture memorization, church attendance or encouraging others. Whatever they may be, we should adapt spiritual goals as believers and followers of Christ. Here's a goal that we've started this year: faith, family, and fellowship. Great, given great opportunities and working within some of our goals and working in those areas of being a blessing, in our church family. So why are goals important? Goals give us something to strive toward, something to aim at, something to work toward. Spiritual goals help us focus on spiritual matters and the Lord that we serve. So if you have no spiritual goals, how are we growing? How are we serving? How are we moving toward that aspect in our spiritual life? Again, goals help us use our time wisely and keep our priorities straight. Some of us have some issues, whether it be dyslexia or, like me, hyperactivity. I mean, if a squirrel runs by the window and I see it go by, I've got to find out where he's going, what he's going to do. So I have notes. I've got things on my phone to remind me. My phone is a tool. It's not a toy. There's no games on it. My granddaughters will tell you they won't even bother picking up my phones. To them, it's worthless because there's nothing on it they can do except that they want to look at a few pictures that Papa has taken, because it's a tool for me. And alarms go off all during the day. And sometimes the only problem is I don't have the volume turned up high enough to hear it to know what I'm supposed to be doing next. But needless to say, one of my goals is to stay on track, to get the jobs done. I've got a calendar on my desk, and my wife says you can't find it, but I know exactly where it is. It's got my days laid out, things that I've accomplished, things that I've done, the sermons that I've preached. Every sermon that I preach has a hard copy that's filed, has an electronic copy that's in the cloud. I try to stay organized the best I can. I have goals to work toward, and they help us in our Christian walk and our Christian life. Spiritual goals can help with distractions, and it can help with discouragement by having a goal to stay on something to do. God, again, goals will help us to manage our time wisely. God used Paul because he had goals in his life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14. I press toward the mark, the goal. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are we pressing toward the goals that we have, that God has given us? Pray about your goals. Lord, help me in my goals in life. Personal goals, financial goals, spiritual goals, educational, whatever they may be, in getting to them. Proverbs offers a treasure chest of wisdom on how to achieve and the causes of failure in our daily life. And the principles in Proverbs can help you to achieve and to accomplish your goals. And tonight we'll begin our focus on the conditions and concepts for achievement of reaching those goals. Just one point tonight and a few subpoints that we'll get to, and but we'll stay on this topic for a while. Number one, conditions and concepts for achievement. Conditions and concepts for achievements, or you could say conditions and concepts for reaching our goals. Preparation is essential in reaching our goals. And we'll see that in Proverbs in just a moment. Preparation may involve getting organized and planning for a project. I am not the best organizer, and I will confess that once a month, sometimes once a quarter, she probably needs to do it once a month, my wife will come in and say, okay, let's organize your desk. I'm tired of looking at it. And I'm like, I know where everything is. I know exactly where it is. Don't move. No. We're going to organize this desk because it drives me crazy. Every time I walk in here and see that and then set up my desk to work, I don't see how you get anything done, but I do. So she is very gracious and she helps me organize, and she'll pick up something and say something like this: are you ever going to do this? Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, does it need to be here where it's at? Does it need to be over here on the bulletin board? Does it need to be in the file on the right side of your desk that you check periodically? Let's get this desk cleared. She'll help me. We'll get the desk cleared. And about 2 weeks later, everything's spread out once again. That's our system of working together. But have a plan. Preparation, again, may involve getting organized and planning. It may also involve going to school, getting a training in the area where you want to have a career in. But achievement is the byproduct of careful preparation and planning. If you don't plan, you basically plan to fail. And again, we'll look at some things in Proverbs. This truth is taught in the field even of nature. In a moment, we'll see that Solomon directs our attention to one of the smallest creatures on earth as an example of preparation and of achievement. When we look through Proverbs, there are several insights that we can glean about the issue, again, of preparation. And I'll say that often. Number one, complete priorities in proper order. If you've got some priorities or some areas, things you need to work on, do you have them in order? Is it step one, two, three? Is it all jumbled up? I mean, even sometimes when I have the announcements and you look at my notes, sometimes I'll go through and I'll number them, even though they're not in order of how I think and how I want to make those announcements or to present them. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 27. Again, complete priorities in a proper or orderly fashion. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. There's no doubt we see here there's order to be taken care of, and then Solomon offers instructions about completing priorities in a fashionable or proper order. Here the farmer is to do his planning and prepare his fields first before he builds his house. And of course, the question might be why? Well, opportunities to plant and grow crops are limited, but the construction of a home has fewer limitations. Once the crops are in, you can begin the house. There's some types of season you just got to get in and take care of the crops. Solomon is revealing the importance of wise use of our time. I can remember as a boy growing up, and with my dad, he likes order. He likes things in order. From the time you walk in his shop, it is laid out. You can see in somewhat of an order things that need to be done. Equipment is there. Supplies are there. The brake for the metal. It's in a place that makes it easy to work and follow instructions of things in order to get the job done effectively. I can remember him at times making comments. Well, if I was back on the farm, right now I'd He still remembers the times of the year, the seasons, reminisce a little bit. He misses the farm even at 82, almost 83 years old. Now, again, some things can be done later, but other matters cannot be delayed. Planning and preparation will help you decide what your priorities should be to achieve your goals. Planning and preparation. The necessities must be met first before conveniences are added. Some things are basic. Some things are easy. You just get the supplies you need, make sure they're laid out, and you go to work. Some things take a little more planning. The Jewish tent would have to do until the home could be built later. Ladies, aren't you glad you didn't first get married and move right into the tent? There is another principle seen here in this verse. The word build can also be translated or used as the word establish. The idea is before you establish a home or family, make sure you are economically prepared to take on the task of caring for a wife and caring for kids. I know we have the saying and many practices, if you wait till you can afford it, you'll probably never do it. But it doesn't hurt to plan and make preparation. Again, this does not mean you have to have loads of money. You don't have to have a lot of money to have a family and to start a family, but it takes planning and preparation and not biting off more than you can chew. Again, the idea is before you establish a home or family, make sure you're economically prepared. It does mean that you should be able to care for the basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter. If you cannot care for yourself, how will you care for a wife and children? So proper priorities are an important part of planning and achieving. Let me say that again. Proper priorities are an important part of planning and achieving goals. Well, I remember going off to college. Had a similar conversation the other day with Miss Gwen, who will be taking off to go to college before long. I reminded her that you're not there to look for a husband. You're there to get a degree. Boys are bad. School is good. Education is good. Of course, all I heard mom and dad say, amen, amen. I gave her permission to start courting when she was 31, but I told her, make sure you talk to mom and dad first. But there's an order. Get your education. In school, training. Get your training done. Master your career field. Don't set your eyes on running the company and being a manager on your first day of the job. Learn the job. Learn. There's a process. There's preparation. Get those things in order. Whether you're a young person in school, whether you're in a career field or looking for a new career field, or even whether you're retired, there's still goals and preparations in life that we should prepare for, especially our spiritual goals. I'm glad we've got some young people here tonight. Let's see. Proper priorities, again, are an important part of planning and achieving your goals. Preparation leads to achievement. Complete priorities in a proper order. Let's see if we can get through one more tonight. Number two, have a compliant attitude. A compliant attitude. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8. Before I read that, let me say this, since we have some teenagers here. The older I get, the smarter my dad is. Hear that, Daniel? The older you get, the smarter your dad is. You'll learn that eventually. Most teenagers, not all, especially those in the presence of this night, they're not like this at all. Most teenagers think they know everything. They think they've got it all under control. I've got this big plan of things I want to do. Okay, that's good to have a plan, but how realistic is it? Can you, in other words, up for failure to bite off a little bit at a time? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and guideth her food in the harvest. You ever seen a teenage ant? Probably not any. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Another insight we find here about preparation is the importance of having a spirit of humility and being teachable. The world is my teacher. I mean, that's a completely wrong aspect, but really an aspect is I can learn from others, even if I'm learning not to do that. We can always learn. Simon tells the lazy man to get an education from Professor Ant. Preparation involves educating yourself, either by research or getting godly counsel or going to school. And there's so much we can learn from the Word of God, so much we can learn from the book of Proverbs. Let me say that again. Preparation involves educating yourself either by research, getting godly counsel, or going to school. If you have a teachable spirit, you can learn something and better prepare yourself. If you think you know it all, you are going to run into all kinds of problems. Let me say here that your teachers don't have to have a degree to be wise. In other words, those that you learn from, some of the most practical advice that I learned as a teenager, older in life, working for my dad, was a gentleman who lived in our community, had a third grade education, and he was the richest man in the county. A lot of it was real estate, building. The man could build. The man knew how to move dirt and what could be done and what couldn't be done before he ever applied for a permit. He just had a lot of common sense. Some of his education wasn't more than that because he didn't have an opportunity. I'm not saying third grade education is enough, go out and make your millions. What I'm saying is, in spite of his opportunities, my dad never went past 10th grade because he was needed on the farm to bring in the crops, to do what needed to be done, and he decided his life was better spent there, and later he learned a trade. But learn, go to school if you can, get an education, learn from those who can help you and give you godly counsel. Again, here, let me say that your teachers don't have to have a degree to be wise. Some of the wisest folks I have met are people who work hard and have or are getting the job done, again, like our pastor's scripture, like the ant. Your parents, your grandparents may not have a degree, yet they tend to have a lot of wisdom. Experience from the school of hard knocks is a great teacher. I can remember sitting down at the dining room table and having geometry and algebra and could not figure it out. Dad never took it. never took geometry, never took algebra and trigonometry. But if you gave him the problem and gave him what the answer is, he can get from point A to point B and show you how to get there if he knew the answer. It might take him an hour to figure out the formula. He'd get it, and then he'd teach you. Some of just some of the things he learned and the way he learned and working. Again, get and glean all you can, young people. Sometimes the school of hard knocks, learning from others, can be rough, but it's better than learning the hard way. If you can get an education or training, get it. Get it one way or the other. Go to school if you can. Take correspondence courses. Knowledge and hard work are a great combination in success. Again, the aunt provides her meat in the summer, preparing for the future. This is the key purpose of being prepared. Let me ask, are you prepared for the future? Are you prepared for the second coming of Christ, the most important event that will take place in the future? Are you looking for his return? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. Again, let me say, you can make all the planning to succeed in life. You make it all the planning to have a degree, to have a great job, to be in real estate, to sling a hammer or electronics, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, or whatever your goal is. You could be the smartest man, the smartest girl. Planning for your future is mute. Not plan for the most important event that will take place in your life, and that is upon death or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He is returning. Again, I've used this illustration. I'll use it again before I come in for a landing tonight. My dad gave me tasks. It gave me a job. I had to go to school. Some days I had ball practice. But when it wasn't in ball season, when I come home, there was a list of chores for me to do as the oldest. I did not know when Dad would be home because he worked construction. But he would be home usually in time for dinner. Sometimes we might have to move him from 5 to 6 or to 7. But he would be home. If he didn't join us, it didn't come till 7. It didn't matter. My chores had to be done no matter what time Dad would get home. I made it a goal to make sure my preparation, my chores, my responsibilities were complete before Dad got home. Dear friends here tonight, when the Heavenly Father returns, are you prepared? Are you prepared spiritually? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time of... I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as we keep that in context, it's for the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The Bible is very clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I didn't face fury when my dad got home and I wasn't prepared, but I did face some hardships. It was always better to be prepared when Dad got home. And dear friends, we don't know when our Heavenly Father is returning, but there's something about peace and preparation. I may not be prepared for my next step in education. I may not be prepared for what's ahead of me in work or in school. I may not be prepared ahead of time for the next test or for driver's ed, but I'm prepared for my Heavenly Father when he returns. The Bible is very clear that the ant and the sluggard and making preparation, and we can apply that to our spiritual man as well. Remember at the very beginning that we talked about on earlier about some concepts that we need to be prepared for spiritually. Are we spiritually ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way you can be prepared is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him and only him to take you to heaven, because there is no other way. I must close here in just a moment. We'll leave step 3 for next week. I'll just add to it and do a new handout. But I can remember going to school, and I'll try to close with this concept. Many times going to school and having a big test, I enjoyed history. Mrs. Osborne was my favorite, one of my favorite teachers in high school. She taught U.S. history. And I remember her vividly teaching history and having some classes. And you remember at the time where they pour all the tea into the harbor and all the protesting and other events, the Louisiana Purchase, all those other things. I enjoyed her style and the way that she taught. And when it come time to take a test, I enjoyed her class so much, I didn't have to go over this to write something down. I didn't have to look at my neighbor and write something down. I didn't have to have a cheat sheet. Preacher, have a cheat sheet, but no, but other people did. This is just a good example. I didn't have to pull it out underneath for my cheat sheet to write in the answers. I was prepared because I enjoyed the class. I enjoyed her teacher. I enjoy of reading it. And dear friends, in our walk of life today, if you enjoy life, you better make sure you're ready to enjoy the afterlife, because the Lord is coming again. And so there's no looking on someone else's sheet of paper. There's no one looking on someone else, but it's looking to the Word that tells us how to be prepared for the return of Christ. Again, back to our scripture that talks about the ant and the sluggard, how they prepare in the time so they prepared for the winter. Winter is coming spiritually one day, and the Lord is returning. Or you'll take your last breath. But are you prepared for success in your spiritual life? Because as we continue our study, and we'll spend more time on achievement. So have you achieved everlasting life? Have you achieved salvation by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here tonight and you do not know where you spend eternity, if you're here tonight and you're not prepared, but you want to make preparation for heaven, don't hesitate. Come see me right after service. Come see another adult or another person that sits with you that can talk to you and answer any questions you have. I want you to achieve the accomplishment of checking the to-do box. I'm ready to meet the Lord. And then everything else, as far as I'm concerned, is just gravy. The education, the work, the training, and the job. Let's pray. Father, we love you and so grateful for the privilege and opportunity to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to evaluate our lives. I am so blessed, Lord, and so rejoiced to have grown up in a home where I was taught and I was challenged to have priorities. I was challenged to get involved and study the Word. I was challenged and encouraged to be compliant in my attitude and working toward the things that you have for us. And Father, I pray that you, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know, that has confusion in their life, that they will be able to get that settled and work for achieving goals in their life at any stage, children, youth, young adults, or seniors. We all need to strive as believers to have goals in our life, spiritual goals, as well as worldly or earthly goals. Now, Father, bless us as we dismiss. May you be uplifted and glorified by our conversation. And Father, may we strive, Lord, to be more like you today than we were yesterday. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you. This preacher loves you. I can be helped you in any way. Please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.